All right, take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, and go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 2, we're going to be outside the book of Romans tonight in our normal Bible study. The ushers are going to come by and give all of the families. I've asked them, I don't think we have enough copies for everybody to have one. I just want you to be able to have one to reference. I'm going to go through a little bit of the points, so if you wave at them if they miss you. And we have for just for all of you, as they pass these out, I want to mention to everybody that if you're a Sunday school teacher or a bus captain, all the binders that we normally do during the camp campaign, which is what we're going to discuss tonight, if you're not from our church and you're a visitor, I just want to tell you this isn't normally always what we do, but we are kicking off our camp campaign, and we want everybody on the page. We believe that we ought to be praying in one accord, that we ought to be working in one accord, and so we're working towards that. So here we have, as far as the papers that you're going to have, are just kind of go over some of the points breakdown. You have this. If you're a Sunday school teacher or worker, that if you're getting a binder, if you're just a worker in Sunday school and you're a helper and you don't get a binder and a Sunday school book, that's one of the reasons I wanted you to have this. I want you to be able to answer questions. If you're a parent and you wanted to know what verses your child should be studying to be able to earn a free week of camp, first graders are able to earn their way. They're going, first graders going into second grade, all right? And so that's going to begin the junior camp age group. And then I want to just kind of make sure, and I'm sure Brother James will reiterate this as we get closer, as he's our camp director. But because we have sixth graders in our youth group, the sixth graders who have been in the youth group this year and are going into seventh grade will be able to go to teen camp. If you're one of those young people that are fifth going into sixth, sixth graders are not allowed to go to teen camp that are going into sixth grade. But if you're in sixth grade going into seventh, you say, why is that? Because I've watched a young man playing some of the games who was that age, all right? And it's already a big difference when you take someone going into seventh and someone who's going out of 12th grade when they play those games, and we try to make them age appropriate. But camp games are not fun unless somebody could really get hurt. It's just the way it is. And so we try to do our best to take care of that, make it age appropriate, but we also try to make it fun. So as we're going through this, wanted to mention, just let me say some things before we go to the paper and just remind you, if you are a Christian like myself who got saved or grew up in a good Bible church and you went to camp, think about what that meant to you long term in your growth, in how God called you and spoke to you. There are adults in this room tonight. If we took time and had testimony, they would say, as an adult at a youth camp, I surrendered to the preaching and calling of God on my life. And so again, camp makes a difference anytime. God, listen, God can do anything immediately, but for us, we don't always act that way. Sometimes we need to get out of all the tentacles and the things that have a hold of us and get out into the woods and into a cabin and have some preaching day after day, and not the influence of the TV or the cell phone or anything else that has an influence over us, and let God speak to our heart. Now, I, you know, we want and desire to grow young people who can live in this world with all those things and combat them. But sometimes camp is the best way to teach them how better life can be when you let go of some of those things that own us. When we lay them down for a week and we live for the Lord for a week, and how wonderful that can be, and how God, how clear God can speak when you listen to the still small voice and blot out the noise. This theme this year is called Golden. We chose that. We have some verses for that, mainly out of Job. But one of the things that we're kind of working towards and how we want you to present it, how we want you to kind of be thinking about it, and how we will present it through our Sunday school lessons will be really God's workmanship. We live in a day and age, and I don't like this terminology, but identity. You know, I think America personally also has an identity crisis, but America is made up of a bunch of people, and a lot of people in America also have an identity crisis. And one of the things that will ground our nation is if Christians knew who they were in Christ Jesus. A lot of times we do not know who we are or whose we are, not really. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, how about the people that say they would say they're Christians, or when they you ask them about heaven at the door, they say, I hope so. And they have some form of religion, but they don't have a I know so, because they don't know Christ enough or haven't had a relationship. Or it's been, again, even Peter talks about they've forgotten that they were redeemed. They've so far down the road, they can't remember what it was like to be in a church or hear preaching or be in the Bible or even what they said way back when. And for those of us, just again, our young people, I don't know that I was so appreciative of what I got as a young person until I got older, when I could look back and realize that I can remember the place. I can remember the time. I can remember the people that were there with me, and the person that turned the pages of Scripture as I read the Bible and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. That is my privilege, to be able to remember all those things. There are people that are saved just like me that don't have a hold on all those things, and they can't rejoice in the things I can rejoice in. Some of those were saved really small, and others, they got so far away from the Lord, they don't remember anything about it. Folks, here in this paper that you have right here, there's just some, one of the things I want to go over quickly is it's $100, so it's 100 points. Now, we will do like we've always done the last few years, and if a child earns 50 points, that will be $50 towards camp. Now, they're not going to come in on the bus at the end and say, I want my $50. We're not paying out. It's going towards camp, all right? So just in case you had a question about that, but we do want them, if they work and they do anything towards camp, we want that to apply to camp, but they can earn a total of 100 points plus some in this campaign. Some of the ways and some of the, what we're doing is 7 weeks, and you can see the 7 weeks here. The first week is we're kind of kicking it off slow, but also kind of allowing for them to get points this week. For everything, we wanted them, instead of just telling them about it, we wanted to give them points for everything that they're already practicing in the kickoff week. And so they'll get points, but they won't have a Bible verse because we're kicking everything off. So they'll get points if they dress right this week, if they're bringing their Bible, if they come faithfully. They'll get all those things, but there'll be things that are handed out this week that will add to that. And some of those things are going to be for the youngest ones. We're going to do some coloring pages, some things that we feel like are going to be at their age group, first and second grade, that are going to be some word searches and things that we feel like will help them hold on. Because again, reading a devotional to them is not going to say the same thing as coloring in God is love. God loves me. God is for me. Those things that they're going to constantly reaffirm in their life, because they're not reading big old blocks of things. They're reading three or four words at a time, and we want them to hold on to that. We're going to work this up age appropriate and go through different, the third through fifth grade, we'll use the devotional, and they'll have questions. They'll have Bible reading that will be assigned, and they can read that with their parent. The reason we're going over this is because we really do want parent involvement, because we want the parent to be responsible and check it off. Put your initials beside and check it that your child read the Bible, that your child did their devotions, and those things that we ought to do, that we ought to make sure our kid is in the Bible every day. Amen. Raising them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And again, that's where they need to spend every day, and now we're just going to give them an incentive to do it. The way, if you miss a week, or if you're going to be gone a week, or even if you're going to have, it's hard to memorize Scripture and you can't get the memory verses. We've built in, if again, like this Resurrection Sunday, all the points are going to be doubled for that week. We want everybody to be here. We want mom and dad to be here. If they want to come to church on that day, we don't want them to have to wait till Mother's Day for mom to come and get double points. We want them to be able to come Resurrection Sunday, get double points. So we're doing double points on Resurrection Sunday. Bible Sunday, everybody that brings their Bible is going to get double points for that Sunday, all right? Then Dressing Right Sunday, we're going to, again, for the king. And you say, why do you dress up for the king? Well, if you dress up for this president, who, I don't know how many of you watched some of the crazy stuff that came out this week. I mean, if you didn't think that he's completely lost it, you know, all you had to do is watch a few videos this week. And I'm not sure he's on the same planet as we are. And Friends Sunday, and this doesn't just go for young people. You as a parent can invite your friends, and then your child can say they were my friend and get points for that, okay? And you can bring them. And they get points for adult friends and children as well. And down here, you can see that. I don't want to go through all the different points that are available, but just to tell you that you can get involved in your kid helping them do that. Most children don't know how to invite someone else to church until they've seen someone else do it. And you know what I've noticed with my children, especially when they're young, after I show them how to do it, then I have to stop them from doing it in places that they can embarrass me. Dad, let's ask this person. They don't want to hear that right now, but let's ask them anyway. And they're dragging me around after that. You know, I mean, especially if, you know, if you have a child like I do, and I'm not going to say her name. I mean, anyway, so that is not shy with anyone. Amen. And so again, so when we get that, but that's a good thing. If God has already given them ability to speak to other people, shouldn't they speak to them about the Lord? Shouldn't they go out and invite them to their church and want them to be here with them? So again, as we go through this, so Faithful Father Sunday, normally when we finish this, we have a day. Anytime Dad comes, we can give points. But we thought instead of, because Dad's Sunday is usually during camp, we wanted to give them a day during camp, not to take anything away from Mother's Day or that we won't honor fathers, and we won't be honoring necessarily that day, but this will be a double points day if Dad comes that single day. Just like Mom's Day, it'll be a double points for them to come. So this is something that, again, when you're dealing with your friends and your loved ones and folks on how they can get, the back is specific to where your child's grade and age is, and you can get in touch with that. And if you have questions, your Sunday school teachers, bus workers, anybody that's around can kind of help. They've been through this. This isn't our first rodeo, so we're going to be involved in this. So Ephesians chapter number 2, let me say as you turn, or if you're going to open it back up again like I am, I want you to know that over here are all the binders for Sunday school teachers and for bus captains. I will just mention to the bus captains, we'll talk about this on Saturday in here, but in the back of their binder, they have something different. They have those permission slips, and we're supposed to do that yearly. So I wanted to remind you again, we've got all those permission slips we want. While we're talking to parents about trying to come, about their children coming to camp, you're already going to need to talk to those parents. So this is a good time for them to sign their kid up again and give us permission to bring them to our church for another year. All right, so that's what we want to do. Make sure we have that permission slip and put it on file. So I wanted to remind you about it. And that's always, most of these parents don't have any problem with it. It's just us making sure we get to, it's hard. And now we got 7 weeks to try to make sure we meet them at the door sometime during that 7 weeks, and it puts it on our mind, and it puts it in our binder to try to get them to sign it, amen? So just want you to pray about it. You know, sometimes, you know, I know God can give us divine appointments, and he can do that with parents that we already know and let our kids come to church, let their kids come here on the bus. If we pray for God to put them behind the door one of those Saturdays when they're really never there, you know what? Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't that be an explosive answer to prayer when you realize this parent ain't never home, but this Saturday we're home because I prayed about it. And God answered my prayer. Amen. In Ephesians chapter number 2, it's a familiar passage of scripture. The book itself is a powerful book. And we're not going to teach like we do normally on Wednesday night with Romans. I am going to try to teach, but I want to kind of talk to you and really invest in our parents and our church in the idea of where we're going. Young people need our help. They need our help. God gave them parents for a reason. If they didn't need you, if they didn't need Sunday school teachers and workers around them to guide them and to influence them, God would not have made them small. He would have made them like Adam and formed, poof, they would have showed up. He would have done it in a different way, but God ordained for children to be born into the world and for them to be nurtured and cared for and invested in by their parents and their church, not the government. And we can all say amen to that. But as a member of our church, as a parent, someone who loves your children, sometimes we allow everything else to tell our children what really is important. We let everything else tell our children who and what they ought to want to be. Somewhere along the way, we've come to a place where we, as parents, step back and say, you can be whatever you want to be. Do you think the school was teaching them that? Do you know they're getting influences from other people that are telling them what they ought to be? And the one person that should see their gifts and their talents and should have influence in their life of what they could be in Jesus Christ is the person that lives with them and God gave them to raise them. But it's everybody else telling them what they ought to be. It's somebody on the internet, somebody on TikTok telling them what they ought to be. I never thought I'd see the day, and I know that teenagers are going to be mad with me, but one day you will wake up and smell the roses and never ever want to be that guy. Do you know how random it is to be the guy who spends his entire life YouTubing himself? Who makes an idiot of himself so that he can get money? And let me just tell you, do you know why he makes money? Because you watch him. Because you have to watch the next video he makes, or she makes, or whoever it is. Can you imagine what other thing are they going to be good at when people, if everyone decided to boycott their channel, what are they going to do with their lives? Do you imagine how, again, we live in a society in a day and age where if we realize who is investing in us, do you realize that is what this culture with likes and friends and all of the online culture that is not really reality, but we've made it so? That whole thing is that we're built up and our whole life is established on people we never touch, we never see, that can on a whim like us and on a whim drop us. Not knowing why, all it has to be is somebody else make a video on telling us that we ought to drop that. And the influencers of influencers have influence, and all of a sudden, I feel like everybody hates me because nobody's liked me today. Because I hate the word, but let me just say this. I have identified success with likes. I have identified love with the internet. When the Bible clearly teaches truth that God is love. And we miss some of those simple things that we teach our kids, and that just rolls off the tongue so easily. But wouldn't that be a great thing for your kid to study? What does it mean? God is love. Three short words in the English language, but you could never study them and know it. You could never completely study it out. You could never completely understand how much the depth of God's love is, the height, the breadth. Paul just started writing all these different things that tried to put some boundaries on it, and he was pretty much saying it's boundless. There isn't any bounds that you can put on it. As far as the east is from the west, I mean, we could put all those different terms on the love of God. And when I understand that God who loved me, who made me, who created me, then wants to shape me. When he saves me and quickens me and brings me into himself, that he wants, think about this. You know, I'm looking across the crowd. Y'all, some of you watch things like Shark Tank and a number of things where people, they strive to get someone to have influence in their life. If I could just have your influence, do you realize that the God of the universe, who made everything, came from heaven, died on Calvary to purchase you back to himself, so that he could make you his workmanship? Amen. And again, we often say it. It's cliche, but we miss it. Look at the Bible really quickly tonight. He says in verse number 1, and you, in verse chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Again, I will not take a lot of time here, but every time we see that little S spirit that now works in the world, don't believe everything that calls itself spiritual. Religion is not always truth. There are all kinds of spirits working in this world, but they're not all a big capital S Holy Spirit trying to draw you and guide you to Jesus Christ and into all truth. There's a spirit of deception and antichrist that runs wild in this world, and he is owned and pushed by the prince and power of the air, Satan himself, and he will one day be set up. But let me just tell you, not until the Holy Spirit is withdrawn from this place. Because there's a reason that the little S is predominant all through the Bible. And when it speaks of the Holy Spirit and God's Spirit, it's a capital S. Because he's way bigger. He's way more powerful. He's way, way more of everything that you could ever want and a bucket of chicken. I just wanted to see if you were listening. And for me, that's a whole lot more. Amen? He says in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. Do you see how this is a past tense for a Christian? Among whom also we all had our conversation. This is the person we hung out with and talked with. We talked like this guy. We hung out with this guy. We listened to this guy. But now that we're saved, he said, in times past and lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Do you know what your kids are being influenced by when you let them go to their flesh and live in a worldly, fleshly mind? Satan, the spirit of this world, the spirit of Antichrist. And we think it's okay. We stand in the corner and sing to ourselves, it only takes a spark. And hope that the little spark that lives within them is somehow going to turn into a flame on its own. All along, the devil is trying to put that flame out. All along, he's teaching them, you don't want to light that fire. That fire will take you to the mission field. That fire will take you to being, an outcast of everything that you love. And everything he tells them is a lie. Everything he tells them. But you know what? He's building somewhere. He says, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And then the thing that changed everything for everybody but God, who is rich in mercy. I don't know if you missed this, but before we could ever really feel loved, God had to have mercy. Mercy is so underrated, even among Christians, but God gives it every day you wake up. Every day you have a wrong thought. Every day you talk about something you shouldn't talk about. You think about something that's a waste of your time. Everything. When you've been redeemed and you're on your way to heaven, God is dumping out graciousness and mercifulness on us. Until we come to the place where we are just like Jesus Christ, you know what he's dumping out buckets of? Mercy. Mercy, mercy, mercy. On every one of us. I taught today in Psalms 18. And you know what he says over, I'm over in the village teaching folks, right? That they're older than me and they already know it all, but I wanted to remind them. Mercy. When we give mercy, he shows himself merciful. Do you know what, you say, well, I like mercy and I don't always feel like it. Sometimes I feel like God's judging me. Well, when was the last time you gave it? When was the last time somebody really deserved a sock in the mouth? Or, when a kid's running through the church and you want to tell them, you sit down right now. You just said, I remember when I did that. I remember when I took off across the church. Hey, mercy. There's time for instruction. I'm just going to tell you, for me, When I was a boy, I remember running. We had a hallway down our church, man, and I'd run that hallway, and we weren't supposed to run. And people, I didn't even hear. I was like trying to be like the Flash. I was zoned on my running, and all those people were going, "Don't run, don't run." I didn't hear them. But when my daddy stepped out in that hallway, the Flash went, and I was like, you know, and he said, "Didn't I tell you not to run, boy?" You know, I caught up with the person whose I was. Whoo! I don't remember a whole lot of mercy, but I remember he didn't kill me, so he must have had some. I'm still here today because of mercy. Hey, don't act like you're perfect. You only here tonight because your mom and daddy had mercy when they could have had judgment. And we go through the scripture and we miss that God was rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Do you know love? Loving one another in the church, you know what'll help us give each other mercy when we love right? We love our brother. That's my brother in Christ. I'm going to have mercy. Maybe he don't know. We pull over and help somebody change the tire. Yeah, I know you could change the tire yourself, but I'm here to help you. I'm having mercy. Let me help you with this. Let me help you with that. There's love. Even when we were dead in verse 5. In sins hath quickened us together with Christ. He's constantly driving to the thought process of being quickened and put into Christ. That I was dead in my trespasses and sin, and the spirit that controlled the dead fleshly man has now been quickened and placed in to Christ, filled with the Spirit of God. He talks to the church and he says, remember in times past when you were like this? Remember in times past when you were like that? It sounds like that the new man or the man in Christ ought not act like that. And he comes full circle and he says, quicken, hath quickened us together with Christ. And then he just makes the statement. Mercy and grace are all through this. Don't miss it. By grace are you saved through faith. It's what he's going to build to, but here, just those little caps. By grace ye are saved. Just gave you a little taste of it, but he's building to that, right? Whereas he says, and hath raised us up together and made us. Now, I don't know if you picked that up, but I think this last time around for me studying, you know, I've always thought about, man, the Lord has put me in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm sitting in heavenly places. That's the way God sees me. Do you know there's a bunch of people that live like they wouldn't want to be there? Do you read that with me? King James Bible, made us. Made us sit. You say that's just by accident. No, because he's going to talk about us as his workmanship. He'll set me wherever he wants me. You know what the potter does when he's done? He sets it where he wants it to go. He puts it on the shelf where he wants it to be. And you know where he has ordained in the, look at what it says here, in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come that he might show his exceeding riches of his grace. Do you know what exceeding riches? It's a lot of grace and mercy that you're saved and in church tonight because of what Jesus did for you. But what exceeding riches look like is transported from an earthly place of sin and seated in a place that no sin should ever be, no sinner should ever reach, and made to sit in heavenly places. You don't pick that up. You know, maybe you thought, well, you know, when the old guy that, you know, the prodigal, I'll just go home because home is better than this. And I'll just be a servant. I'd just be glad if my daddy let me work in his house, let alone sit in his house. But when the prodigal came home, he said, no, sit down right here. Let me put some shoes on your feet. Let's put a robe on him. Let's put a ring on his finger. The riches, exceeding riches of his grace. And then he gets to the part where it's really good when he says, in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Do you know the song that she sang tonight was, why would I mean, she has talked about fear. Why would I fear in Jesus? Do you know what's predominant? I mean, what was heavy in COVID was fear of death. But you know what everybody's fearing now? They're fearing finances. Fearing everything that's going to come along and scared to death. but I knows who I am. I know today whose I am. And if you know that, then I know he said he's going to take care of me. Now, it might get real bad. And I might not get a whole bucket of chicken. But he's going to take care of me. See, we miss it. We miss the goodness of God. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I want you to understand this and take this home, and this is where I've been driving to. All the goodness of God, all that God has already done, all right? And a church like ours, the reason we do not retain a lot of our young people is because to them, and maybe sometimes because to you, it's all about works. Not for salvation, but my stature in the church and in the eyes of my God are about my works. When it's really about his workmanship. And that when I'm working for him, he's working on me. And that when that he, and I'm just saying, that's where I want you to picture it tonight. And for time's sake, I'm going to run for home as hard as I can. And I'm going to leave you with that picture. Here we go. Ready? All right. Everybody's right up, right? Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ, not by Christ. He already did that. Twice bought, twice created, created by him in the beginning, formed out of the dust of the earth and breathed into the nostrils, and man became a living soul. That was the Son of God, the Creator God, Jesus Christ. That same God came from heaven and died on Calvary, rose again so that you could be in him. Because without being in him, you can't go to heaven. Because when you're in Christ, Jesus is what God sees. You know, I mean, when you talk about how are you going to get into the gate of heaven, I think of the heaven gate like that retina scanner. Right? When you go up to a retina scanner on the gate of heaven, it's going to read, lost and on his way to hell. Because he's not in Christ. But when I go like that, and that thing looks clean through my human fleshly body and looks in and says he's in Christ. He's got a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I don't know about you, but I get excited when I think about the only reason. You know, sometimes when you walk through them things, you know them things at the airport? After you're trying to hold your pants up and you're wondering, is my money clip going to make it? Or is one of them guys going to grab it? I hope he gets paid something better than I do. Anyway, you know, so, because he's going to grab my money clip on the way by, right? And then you're like, did I take everything out? Looks like me, you know. And I hope my trick knee just got the pin in it. No, so, you know, I mean, so you're walking through there and you're waiting for it to go off. And it's scanning you. If we can make something like that on earth, you don't think God can from heaven look right on through you and see who is in you and what you don't got? And be his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, this one verse is what I'm going to preach, give you the points, and you go home and meditate on it tonight. Number one, created in Christ. Created in Christ. I'm his workmanship. Everything that's been brought into existence, every element, everything that is, was brought into existence by Jesus Christ. And why don't you understand how powerful it was when you got saved and he quickened the elements that he already made? And changed them and made them something different. Not this old fleshly body. Not made into something new, and definitely didn't move anybody from any gender. But he quickened me. He moved me from lost to saved. Not because of what I did or any of my works, but because of his works. And because I asked him for it. Poured out mercy and grace. Created in Christ Jesus. So I mean, even at the beginning, I'm his creation. Number two, I want you to see this. I'm purposed in Christ. What do you mean purposed? I see created, but not purposed. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That means I am a creation with purpose, and my even though works didn't do anything to get me in, works is what I'm created to. He said, "Preacher, you just started this whole thing out and said it ain't about my works." You right. You are absolutely right. But I'm trusting that every one of you have an intelligence that can go high enough, and maybe I'm assuming wrong on you tonight. But it's not about my works to get into salvation. And it's really, listen, I will receive rewards when I reach heaven. But the workmanship God does on me, he don't need me. Do you know he can take any old person in this auditorium and he can make them the preacher he wants them to be? He can put them on a bus route and make them the bus captain. He can make them a Sunday school teacher. Anybody that will yield themselves to God, he will begin that creation and that workmanship and put them and gift them just what they need to do his work. But he'll use you if you let him. But every one of us were quickened and created in Christ Jesus unto good works. What does that mean? Well, how about if we started out like this? See, we reckon everything like something somebody can see. But how about loving your brother? How about the stuff everybody can't see? They can see when it's manifested. And to be honest with you, most of the things that you think are special are the fruits of the Spirit, manifested in the workmanship of Jesus Christ. But you're created into good works. Purposed unto good works. So let me ask you this. When you think about your future and what you're going to do, what good are you purposed to do? When you think about, I was created to do what, God? That always is going to be attached to good works. You know, God never created anybody to do wrong. He never created anybody to hate his brother. Never created anybody to seek after the world and to conquer it. Good works. You say, well, wasn't it a good work when Nebuchadnezzar took over the world? Nebuchadnezzar was being used in judgment. His good work was somebody else's punishment. And by the way, I don't know if you know this, but after Nebuchadnezzar conquered the world is when he got saved. God can even use the lost man. But it isn't too often that God uses the saved man to bring judgment on a saved man. God usually lets those that are still in a spirit that isn't a big S do the work that we are not called to do. Because we're not called to bad works. We're called to good works. I'm not called to push my brother down. I'm called to pull him up. I'm not called to shoot him in the back. I'm called to pour oil in the wounds and help him. He says this. How about this? If the church has got the Great Commission, then I'm created unto good works that he's already set for his church. And so I wrote down in my notes a big old get the thing done. Created unto good works. It's not a mystery what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't have to wonder, what did God create me for as a Christian? He created me to be a member of his church and to bind together with other believers and love each other and then complete the Great Commission. Sometimes we think that's a lesser job when it is exactly what we're created to do. We're his workmanship. Way too often. Don't let me, and I know I'm trying to finish, but I just want you to grab the fact that you don't need a title to do good works. You don't need to see everybody clap for your work because God's marking it down. when you just get in and shoulder the load with somebody else and pull on. Sometimes we're always looking for the title, and I'm going to tell you this, and you may not like it, but you can take it home with you tonight. It's not the people, the greatest workers that God will honor in heaven will not be people with the biggest titles. There'll be some of the people that you never heard of, nobody ever wrote a biography about, but they're people that just got in Christ and got about good works in their church. They loved the people, and they helped people, and they told people, and they taught people. And when they got home, think about this. That, you know, we always laugh about the name Dorcas, don't we? There's a bunch of people around that were holding up, some of even her good works on this side of heaven, and going, look at what she made for me. Look about how she loved me. Look about how she cared for me. I often think sometimes when I'm at a funeral, when I'm with people, what will people think about me? It ain't going to matter a whole lot, people showing up for all my titles, for all the schooling I did and all that, but people, I want people to show up and say, look what he did for me. Look what he invested in me. Look what he left behind in me. Hey, folks, I just want you to see tonight, he even shows that we're ordained to the work. See, sometimes we have to press on. I got to get ordained. God ordained you when he created you and in his workmanship unto the calling of this church, which is the Great Commission. He says, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, sometimes the problem is we get so in a hurry to show up and to show off that we get mad with God because we're on the run. But God didn't ordain me to run this race. This book tells me to walk, walk, walk. Do you know what I do know? That when he's, you know what I've learned about workmanship? Once workmanship gets fully, gets towards the end, then it can run. Do you know when we started off football, summertime, when they're trying to get all the McDonald's cheeseburgers off of you, they didn't just start out running us to death. Not running laps. They would just exercise us to death in one place. Push the sled, moving 3 feet at a time, and everything that wasn't supposed to be in there started coming out through sweat or other means. I don't know what y'all were thinking. But you know what happens when God works his workmanship in his church, reading his word and praying and serving with people? All of a sudden start working the things out that ain't supposed to be there no more. He starts revealing the things that he don't want there because I can't run with that in my life. I can walk with it, but I want to run someday. I want to be somebody that can walk every day. I want to be able to carry the load that God has ordained for me. And folks, I just want you to understand that this life is full of tribulation. We just went through that in Romans, right? Tribulation, patience, trying to get to hope. But sometimes the best thing we can do is focus in on whose we are. I'm in Christ. This thing, you know how you're going to teach your kids? Knowing it yourself, that you're in Christ. Knowing that you have a purpose. Do you know what will show your kids' purpose in this church? Is you finding a purpose in this church. And then praying and talking to them about what's your purpose. Do you know that we think so much about all of what they're going to do when they leave here, and we wonder why they leave here, because everything we talk about is when they leave. We always talk about all the purpose of when they're out of the house, or when they go to college, or when they're married, and all these purposes, when they could have, God wants them to have purpose while they're here, while they're teenagers, while they're young people. And if they gain that purpose, then, you know, they can carry that on through the rest of their life, and they can run long before I ever ran or before you ran in the Christian life, because they got all those finality, all those little things done early on and settled. I'm in Christ. I'm his workmanship. It's not about the titles and all the things. I'm just here to serve, preacher. You know how long? I mean, think about that. I'm just here to serve. Jesus Christ, who bought me, who's working on me, who loves me and has ordained me to the gospel ministry. Hey, folks, tonight, as a church, we often use the term getting back to the basics. You know, it's kind of a term for basic training and for the army, but this is God's army. This is His church. And basically, what we have done, the Bible uses the term leaving your first love. The Bible uses the term getting lukewarm. The Bible uses the term for people that they major on the minor. They get real. You know what we call them? Pharisees. And they're all, instead of looking for people who need to get in Christ, we're picking the people that are already in to pieces. When we're still His workmanship. Do you know when we talk about all the pots that the potter has made, set on the shelf? Wouldn't it, I mean, think about this. When we're all His workmanship, think about, and that's the pot calling the kettle black. We ought to be thinking about how God is going to use me as an instrument in His work. And you know, I've been around tools all my life, and I'm leaving you with this tonight, but you know, the half-inch wrench gets used so much. But it don't mean that the 9/16ths don't have its place. And even though you may not, I hated the day when I had to go over to that metric set of wrenches. I hated it. But you know, they have purpose too. And they lay in that box waiting to be used when it's their turn. Because there's a nut that they can turn. There's a nut that they fit on perfectly and is prepared for them to be on that and turn that thing. And you say, well, what about an adjustable wrench? I'd call that running. God used me to fit a niche in His work, and all of a sudden God, He kept working on me, and all of a sudden now He made me so I can fit more than one nut. Well, you know, I'm just thinking tonight, in this place here, how many people in this place, how many of you measure yourself not because of whose you are, but because of a title that you hold, but because of the amount of work that you do for Him. And that's what, instead of how much God loves you, instead of He still wants to invest and grow, the problem that we find is when we work, and work, we forget that He's still trying to work, and invest and change me and make me what I ought to be. And too many times, especially in a church like ours, the reason that our kids don't want to come back is because they say, that place and those people are all about work. Instead of, I watch God work through our people. The church is the size it is today because a bunch of people bound together and let God do a work through them. That's what I want. I don't want to be known for my work. I want to be known for what God worked through me, because I'm His workmanship. Folks, I waited till now to tell you, you're His workmanship. God desperately desires to do a work in Haines City and in and through your life in this place. If we would all decide, no matter where your age bracket is, to let Him have His way. You do your work. I'll do mine. I'll do your work. Amen. Tonight, the invitation is this. If you're here and you're not saved, why don't you get in Christ? If you're here and you are saved, just why don't you do business with God? I don't know where on that ladder of how you identify yourself, and I don't like the term, but do you list everything on the amount of work or the work that God is doing in your life? We'll stand to our feet as musicians come. Why don't you come?
Follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
Would you bow your head with me tonight? If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I don't want you to slip out without me giving an invitation for you to step out and walk down an aisle while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, where you could receive Jesus Christ and get in Him. That means you get heaven, and you can know that you can get in the gate of heaven, not because of what you did, but because of what He did on Calvary. If you're here tonight, don't wait. Step out. Meet me in the front and let me take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home. As Brother Bert sings, you step out and come.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Let's sing with Brother Bert now.
The behind me,
the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
We close in prayer tonight. Let me remind you, if you're a Sunday school teacher, bus worker, there's binders up here for you, Sunday school lessons for everybody, and then in the back for all of us, there's flyers for Resurrection Sunday. Let's take some and hand them out and put them out to folks and invite them to be in church with us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, I thank you that I'm your workmanship, Lord, that it's not of my works, Lord, but it's of your works. And Lord, I pray that you'd continue to work on our church. Help us to work together to see people saved, that we might be able to one day hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." In Jesus' name, amen. Choir practice.